Welcome to episode 9 of the Final Boss Blues podcast. This is Raynard Frost, and I'm joined today with my co-hosts Despain and Killam.
Yo.
Hey, guys.
And we also have a guest host with us. You may know him on the RPG Maker web forums as Nathaniel B., henceforth referred to as Nate. Say hello, Nate.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All right, so today we're going to continue our Getting Serious topic we did a few episodes back. We're going to do part 2, and it's going to be focused on the commercial aspect of game development versus making games for free, or making games that will be free. Either way, we're going to start. Wait, hold on, I forgot something. What time is it?
Player Flay!
That's what time it is.
Player Flay!
Any less cheesy. So today, we're going to talk about a special game. Special game dear to our hearts, and by that I mean the opposite of. It's called A Pawn and a Knight by Yanma.
And as always, you can find this game in the project development section on RPG Maker web forum. So if you are at a computer while you listen to this, be sure to follow along so you can see the screenshots that we're talking about and that kind of stuff.
You can get the impressions that we get, your own impressions. You can follow along and just share in the experience. So to start, this game has a demo.
So we did not play the demo. We got a note that we're just player flaying the thread and yes. What we see on the box.
We're just checking the thread. So let's get started with the story. So I'll lead, and then you guys just kind of follow in when it feels right. So here's the story to A Pawn and a Knight. A corrupt and wicked empire rules with an iron fist.
A neighboring village decides that they've had enough.
Start a revolution led by the Black Maiden Ileana. You, the novice swordsman
Cirrus, have been tasked to destroy the Empire's power.
The crystal located at its center. The environment compels you to complete your mission.
The destruction of this crystal.
You are caught between right and wrong. Friend and foe, as you fight to either protect the environment or to do what's best for your cause.
That was so bad. Terrible.
So the fact that you can actually click the plot spoilers and read the entire premise here.
I'm just going to get into that, but we did read it before recording, and I will say that it is quite cliche. But before I get into that, I'm going to read the next paragraph in here that says that this game focuses heavily on a deep environmental undertone. Each major action you take has severe repercussions on your environment. This game is all about pollution and how humanity is choking the Earth's environment while doing just their people. Humanity cannot find a balance between ourselves and our environment. This game shall create that balance if you make the right choices.
I bet when you're like playing this game, there's like billboards that promote vegan diets and the raw food movement.
Just an immediate suggestion, you should have bottled water healing items, and if you use it, it damages the environment just a tad little bit. It could be like the potions to encourage magic use.
That works.
Don't use items because it just pollutes.
Exactly. And then there's souls.
Consumers.
There's achievement where you don't use any items. It's all like, you got the no littering badge. Congratulations, bro.
Achievement unlocked. Staying green.
The crystals, they are mysterious objects that supposedly hold the world together. Each crystal is gallantly guarded by countries and empires. It is unknown how many crystals exist in the world, but so far there are, wait for it, 4 in record.
This reminds me of a game I was just playing just last night. It's called Final Fantasy.
No, it's Final Fantasy 4.
And 3.
And 3.
No, 3 has 8. I've got 3. I was just playing 3 the other night. 3's got crystals.
Yeah.
Don't they all have crystals?
They all have crystals. Bottom line is every Final Fantasy 1 through everything has basically, like the early Super Nintendo and regular Nintendo ones, the common theme was they're crystals. When they don't work, shit goes bad.
Is there an environmentalist theme in those Final Fantasy games as well?
In Final Fantasy, the 4 crystals, earth, wind, water, and fire, basically have gone out. And so, like, the seas rage, the winds die, the plants die, and all this crap that basically says until these crystals are relit, the Earth is pretty much bogus. You just don't get it reflected because it's the NES and limitations. But that intro cutscene basically makes it seem like it's a post-apocalyptic scenario right from the get-go.
Okay.
And so, they continue that in subsequent games. But yes, so we've established that the story is incredibly cliche. And
before we dive deep into this game's story, I would like to go on a little bit of a tangent about the whole spoiler thing. Plot spoilers, please tread carefully. Are you sure you want to spoil the whole darn story? You must be sure if you're going this far, right? The idea behind that in a development thread is kind of off-putting.
Like, yes.
I understand that you're trying to sell your game to people, you don't want to spoil it, but this is really a development forum. You're with your fellow developers here. You're not really trying to just advertise your story for potential players. The people on RPG Maker Web who are going to be looking at your thread like this are probably going to be in it to try to help you and give you feedback. So if you're worried about spoiling your game, just don't. Just don't worry about spoiling it, because you actually want the feedback on what happens.
Exactly.
Right, I mean, not to cut you off or anything, but, I mean, there is the demo, and I realize why there's a demo. I mean, to get, you know, player feedback and stuff, and developer feedback, I should say. But the fact that there's the demo right above the story's plot spoilers, where you can read and ruin basically everything for yourself, throws me off, because sometimes I actually jump into some of the project development threads and download some demos and check them out and everything. And just the fact that one is above the other and you can just basically read the whole story, it tells me that the developer may even not feel like they're going to finish the game themselves and want to get their story out there, or that they're not expecting people to actually finish it.
That's a very good point.
That kind of throws me off a little bit.
And you'll see later on in the topic that theme you just talked about it's prevalent throughout the thread, where he basically has no confidence in his project. And we'll get to that in a second. One thing that Despain noticed is that the Black Maiden, Ileana, she seems very familiar.
Very familiar.
Very familiar. You might know her as the Black Maiden, Liliana.
Yeah, Liliana Vess.
Magic the Gathering.
There's a character in Magic named Liliana Vess, and she looks pretty much exactly like this Ileana character from this guy's game. I'm not going to say that this guy stole the character, because he may not have. Might be a coincidence, but the name is so similar.
Know,
the character sprite is so similar.
It's not like he took a similar aesthetic and then switched the first and second letters of the name and swapped them.
I will admit, though, that if somebody's going to rip something off, I'd rather it be Magic the Gathering than anime, because...
Wait, there's a contradiction, I just read it. In the story, it says there are four in record, and then you go to the character section, and there's six in record. Yes, consistency in your topic. Now, let's get past... We've already established the story is fairly terrible. Let's move on to... the screenshots, which are an improvement. The screenshots are what made me interested. I will say that the name above the characters not having a matching font is kind of weird, because like the first four letters are flat and then the last three letters are gradient. It seems kind of odd. Look at the first screenshot where it says Ileana. The first half of her name.
The name that's above the sprite. I thought you meant the name above the box. I was like, what? That looks
funny. Oh, no.
Then if you look at the board, the entire board's font is actually gradient.
Yeah, so
it might just be the letters
or something. Yeah, the letters. That's it.
It's probably the letters.
There's some bugs. There's some bugs there. He's also got these plant green things on the top of a building on the top of the cliff face that do not match the art style at all.
Yeah, I don't even know
he's
what those
are.
He's
also got the shadows on, which seem very...
Oh, you know what? You know what those plant things are? It looks like there's a rain or fog effect of leaves that fall down, because some other areas see, like... So it looks like there's something weird going on with that. Like, it's supposed to look like it's raining leaves.
Alright, and then he's got a generic full frontal combat system with a little, like, turn meter on the left.
I like the idea of the turn meter.
Well, yeah, I like it too. The Terminator's always cool, but it's just it's an aesthetic thing.
His battle system looks kind of neat, I guess.
No, that's
it doesn't
custom.
Look... Yeah, it
you can affect the you can affect the flow of battle directly by targeting enemies. That's not just a default battle system. That's full custom.
Yeah. This system looks unique.
No. I'm saying the full frontal thing. But if
you
can affect the turn order, not just by changing people's agility, then yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, you can directly affect that. If he did it the right way, that is. That's how it's supposed to be.
If he used the system to its full potential.
Yeah, exactly.
The battlers, I think, are cool, but they do not blend well
with
the
RTS. It has those weird green things on other screenshots, too. Like, look at the interior screenshot, the one with the piano. It has those weird green things. And on the battle shot after it.
The falling thing on the inside.
I want to know what's up with that. It's in the battle screenshot, too.
You know what? It must be the environment thing.
I'm looking at the interior screenshot. It's, yeah, there's the one with the big gap right there. And if you actually look and at one of the ceiling tiles, there's one of those weird green things that's actually coming off on the ceiling and onto the floor at the same time.
He's got a fog. And the fog's even in the battle.
Yeah, it's
like the
weird.
Next battle after that screenshot you talked about.
Yeah.
He's like fighting these little hyena things and he's just got the fog effect still chilling. And in the cave, he's got a fog effect, but it's these flowing, like, it's these floating orbs. And then he's got inside the building. And then he's got the fog effect in the battle with the knight. Like, he's got, oh, I got this cool fog effect in Falling Leaves, and I don't know how to turn it off.
Yeah, I don't know where he got it.
There's weird stuff. We have to see it in action to really judge it, but something seems a little fishy.
Yeah, the screenshots are not displaying it properly. He's also showing a screenshot of equipment menu. And then his final screenshot is of a battle where it looks like a zombie is coming out of the wall because his foot is in the wall.
I thought that was intentional.
Yeah, me too.
He's coming out of the wall or something.
Like the little crack in his foot.
Yeah. It could be. Maybe. And now let's move on to features.
Features. Do we have anything else to add about the screenshots before we move
on? Wait. There's this little mini quote beneath features. I really feel left out by not having fancy lettering for my titles. I want cool and pretty words, too.
Well, then open up Photoshop and make some.
Yeah, exactly. It's just make a cool font, slap it in there. He also had another... Yeah, all right. Well, we'll get back to that later. So, anyways, features. This is where the theme that Nate was talking about kind of shows in. So, he's got a large array of treats, some unique, while there's not. Huge paragraph about traits you can attach that affect stats. Two separate stories based on your choices. You basically got your environmentalist ending, and then you've got your greedy ending.
I'm going to go
greedy. That's interesting. Yeah, I like that.
I'm going greedy.
That's an actual feature. A front view turn-based battle system is not a feature.
No, with the actual customization options, it is.
He lists off a bunch of different scripts that he plugged in it, and I don't think it's that much of a feature.
I don't count that as a feature.
Yeah,
no matter how many
scripts you plug into your battle system, the battle system is a core part of the game. It can't be a feature in itself.
Yeah. Rewarding exploration and curiosity. I think he listened to our last few episodes, maybe. But basically, there's treasures that are waiting to be found, and they practically scream, "Find me, find me." So it's not that he's rewarding exploration and curiosity. He's just kind of got obvious paths of go. Here's some stuff you can do, and you got items.
I don't know. We don't know. We don't see how it's implemented, but based on the way it says here.
But that's not a feature.
No,
that's not a feature.
That's just good game design.
Exactly. A large party that isn't too large. The Goldilocks zone for parties. Dismaying killing. Get this quote first. I had to explain.
It took me a while to get it. I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? Goldilocks.
I'm like, it's not too big. It's not too small. It's just right. So
I watched anime. I don't watch kid cartoons. Sorry.
It's not a cartoon. It's like a fable or something. You should be familiar with this.
Yeah. Seriously. Oh yeah.
Is it from Japan? No.
There will also be secret characters to unlock and find. Haven't found them all. All right. Yeah. Haven't found them all. Replay value. Bam.
Bam.
Actual quote in the thing. Okay. A skill learning. Okay. This is where I start to rage is from here.
Yep. So
it's a learning system that's incredibly hard to balance. Yeah. Figuring out the JP cost for skills is a pain in the arse. Why did I ever decide to do this system? Because learning skills by leveling up is boring. Two things. One, never complain about your project in a thread. That makes us lose respect for you as a viewer and as a developer. Two, learning skills by leveling up is not boring. You may not like it, but that doesn't make it inherently boring. Some people do enjoy it. Yeah, don't insult the way other people can do things. That also makes you
bad. And when you say, why did I do this system only because it's boring, that irks me. The whole idea, if you don't have a reason for a system, if you don't have a reason for a feature, cut it out. You need a reason for everything. You have to know exactly why everything is in your game.
Exactly. Don't just put something in there because, like, well, this thing's boring, so I'm going to put in this entirely difficult option because I don't like the default option because, no, it's just, no, don't do that.
Yeah, I hate this. He's complaining about developing a game in a development thread. Why?
Yeah.
Why? I don't understand that.
I'm going to finish this game.
Like, I understand if he's saying, hey, guys, this is hard for me to balance. Can you help me out? Give me some pointers on this. That's one thing. But when you put it straight in the features like that, a skill learning system that's incredibly hard to balance, it makes me question, is it hard to balance from your end? Is it hard to balance from the player's end? I'm not really quite sure what exactly he's trying to say there.
I think he means on his end.
Yeah, that's what I finally... agreed upon. Like, that's what I finally interpreted as. But initially, it's just sort of confusing. Why is that in the features list?
Yeah. All right, then a difficult RPG experience like you've probably seen before. Yeah, I know this isn't really a feature, but I had to put it here. Bosses should be hard. They really should be. Balancing problems? Yeah, balancing is a bitch. Once again, you're complaining in your thread. Don't complain in your thread. People, you need to be professional. You need at least...
You don't need to be professional, but you need to... pretend to
you need
be
to have you need to have respect for yourself.
Yes,
basically.
Yeah, that's a better way of putting it.
Yeah, exactly.
And chances are, people looking at the thread already know exactly how hard it is to balance battles.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean,
yeah, like we said before, it's on the development forum. So,
exactly.
And then the last feature is an annoying save system that will make you hate life. Yay! I just want an excuse to have floating fireballs heal you. That's really it. Also, ends need more reasons to be important. But worry not, they're conveniently placed so that you can save frequently. I hope.
That annoys me. Saving should be greatly. Like the absolute thing you do not mess with.
Yeah, it's first off, if you don't like save points, don't use them. Don't you go, I had save points so you could heal. So just have healing points. You don't need to have save points if you don't like them.
Exactly.
I mean, I love save points because I get to manually put pacing. But there's an entire topic that's like 50 pages about the merits between this, and we're not going to get into that. So that is the end of this topic. This has been A Pawn in the Night by Yanma. I believe we have been quite harsh on this topic, but I don't think we've been
harsh enough.
That's true.
True.
We could be a lot harsher. That's just a little disclaimer I want to say.
We could be.
We have held ourselves back on this. We could have been a lot more harsh. We got a little bit worked up just because of the attitude of this guy. And it's more of like, if you don't like the game you're making, then you need to make a new game. You shouldn't be throwing in features just because, oh, I want to be different or I don't like the default. It's like, if you want to put in more effort to make something better, don't complain about that effort. It just looks really bad and makes me think your game's going to be terrible. It's like Nate was saying, where he explained about it after the demo, where it's like, I don't think people are going to finish this. He has no faith in his project. He has no, you know, care. He's just,
he's just making a game.
I can't imagine too many people actually being so incredibly interested in the story that they're going to jump right to the spoilers and read the story. I mean, I would have some more respect for it if he actually said, you know, made a separate section. Here's my story that I'm working on. I would appreciate some feedback on some stuff. There's some things that I'm not sure if this will work. Yada, yada, yada. Here's the spoiler, not like, well, here's
exactly.
The spoiler if you want to read it. It's kind of like,
exactly.
You don't feel like finishing my game. Here it is.
Yeah.
That's what changes my outlook on it.
Yeah, that would be a lot better. Where if he had this attitude where it's like, I'm having some difficulties. Could I get some help? That's fine, but he's just going like, well, I'm doing this, it's terrible, so you're probably not going to like it. There's no self-esteem.
And I don't know
why
I'm doing any of this stuff, and that bothers me. You have to know why you do everything in your game.
Exactly. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just going to look – you're going to have a Frankenstein project, and it's not –
Yes, that's the same thing with scripts that bother me, not to get too off topic, but I see a lot of projects that just jump in. It's like they're browsing the script section, and they're finding, oh, yeah, okay, I'll add that. And it's like – Yes.
Yeah, you're not throwing in features where – you're not going like, oh, that feature I think would really enrich my game. You're just, oh, yeah, that's a cool thing because I need to have scripts, features, everything about your game. It's like seasoning. You're making a dish. If you throw in too much in the pot, it's going to be an overwhelming mess that is no – it's not enjoyable. It's not going to be enjoyable. So basically the one – this is a method that I was taught in school. I probably talked about it before, but this is the KISS theory. Keep it simple, stupid.
Just like if you've seen that documentary, Dreams of Sushi, all his sushi is super simple, straight. But it's such high quality because he puts so much care into all the individual pieces that even though it's really simple, the end result, the taste is so much better than anything you can get that's loaded with seasoning or all sorts of mixed
flavors. Main point is you just need to put in stuff that fits with the project. Don't just slap in stuff for all kinds of stuff. But anyways, so, oh, wait. This is an early version of my project. Be warned, for you may believe it has sloppy writing, unbalanced battles, no tutorial, and a weird, confusing intro. That's what you guys are for. I need your assistance in making this the best it can be. Start off by not salting your project.
No, that's – he's being
– No, I like
that. Line is good. I'm talking about later on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, I see. Yeah, just throw that in there, you know. But he's asking for feedback, which is the important thing. And hopefully we're trying to give him some with this.
Yeah, yeah. So let's say, how can he make this better?
Yeah, what do you guys think? How can he make this better? And then give us your final verdict. Rainer, do you want to kick us off?
I think he can make this better by going into his story and trying to focus more on the environmentalism aspect without making it so obvious. Like, in his little spoiler section, I'm going to talk about the spoilers, sorry, he basically says that you destroy the first crystal, the environment gets wrecked, and then you go to the chick, and she's just like, I don't know what you're talking about, and then you go and destroy another crystal for her. It's like, no, as a player, I'm like, no, she screwed me over. Let's wreck her right now. We don't need to do this extra step. So you don't treat your main character like he's a dumbass.
If give your character's motivations.
Obviously, if I can tell something is obviously up as a player, my character should also be able to tell something is up. There's nothing more frustrating than me being able to tell somebody's going to screw me over and I can't do anything about it. So basically, I think if he went over his story a bit, because his maps aren't that bad. There are some things that he could fix, but it's not too bad. But his story, he really needs to work on and flesh out and basically have more confidence in his storytelling and in his characters and in his game.
Player Flay.
So, Player Flay, I'm going to have to give this a Flay. I mean, I'm looking at this topic and the guy's got no – he's not having fun making his game, and I know making a game is work. But if he's not even enjoying putting it together, I don't think I'm going to enjoy playing it. So it's a Flay for me.
Kill him.
What about you?
All right. I agree with Raynard, but the big thing here that really irks me is the confidence of the game. It kind of isn't there, and like what Raynard said, if you don't like your game, why will I like the game? I mean, the story is cliche, sure, but that's not always a bad thing, but I agree that it needs to be touched up, and the main character needs to have actual motivations, but it's not terrible, but the screenshots are nice. Some of them are good. I like the whole battle system. But again, the whole confidence aspect really kills the game for me. And if you don't like it as a developer, I'm not going to like it as a player. So I'm going to have to give it a Flay.
Nate, what do you think?
First off, immediately, I would say if I was him, I would rewrite the entire thread. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be changed. I mean, I like to see projects succeed and be completed. And I want people, you know, I don't want people to say that I would Flay this game. But immediately, just rework it. I mean, He needs some more self-confidence. There's a difference between smug and being confident behind what he's making. What I'm seeing is a lot of, I don't know, man.
Sarcasm, I guess?
I don't want to say sarcasm, but I can see that he's obviously not confident in it. And that's...
He's being self-deprecating.
Yes, and that turns me off immediately. I think that you can market anything well. I mean, you could take the crappiest game and market it to make people want to check it out. And the way he's being so, you know.
Well, my game's obviously crap, but you should check it out. Just, you know, you're probably not going to like it, but you know, he's trying to set our standards so low that when we play it, we're like, oh, it's not as bad as you made it sound. It's like, no, you're having the opposite effect. You're not even want to. It's like, well, why would I waste my time?
It's almost like he's fishing for compliments by bashing his game immediately.
Exactly.
That's perfect.
The mapping is better than your average mapping. I mean, it could, of course, use some work. Everybody has room for improvement on that side of things. I'm seeing some problems with the fourth screenshot from the bottom, starting from the zombie one all the way up. There's that ceiling type tile that's on the left hand side, I'm seeing some unfinished wall there, and there's this weird portion where the brown wall kind of goes in there. So there's definitely some mapping problems. Would flesh out the characters more. I hate character biographies. I know why people do them, but I don't like character biographies. They bug me for some reason. That's just a personal standard. But I'm seeing like a lot of one sentence, maybe two sentences tops. This one actually has three sentences. But I mean, if you're going to have character biographies, let us know who people are and don't have a character that's not even included yet. That's just a waste of space and a waste of my time when I'm checking it out.
Yeah, seriously. Not yet introduced. She's a cleric, and you'll need one. That's really all I can say right now. Oh, and she's a girl. Oh, my God. That's just screaming. Yeah, I needed to have a female healer, but I haven't planned her out yet. So just know that you're going to have one. That I'm going to make this even more of a cliche. I just want to let you guys know you've got more cliches to look forward to.
So, Nate, then, is this a play or a flay?
Yeah. I would say right now it's a flay. I would personally check it out maybe just to give feedback, but as – personally, no. In the end, I'd say it's a flay.
If you were in a game store and you saw this, if this were a back-of-the-box description, you'd put it back on the shelf.
I would put it back on the shelf immediately.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree with pretty much everything that has been said here. The screenshots seem above the average, I would say, but everything else seems like it's kind of below the average. And the biggest issue for me here is that he seems like he has a lot of things that he's just throwing in there just to throw in there. And he doesn't really have a specific singular goal for the game and what he wants the game experience to be. And when I look at a game, I really look at the entire experience, and he doesn't really have that entire thing down. So I'm also going to give this a flay.
Just real quick, to go back real quick, there's the two separate stories based on your choices feature. That's really neat, but I would like to see, since he kind of complains about how long it's going to take to do it. I would focus on that seems like a big feature, but I would focus on just one side of the story and give it the attention it deserves for putting a demo or looking at it as one big thing. Just break it down. Just do one side of the story first.
Yeah, that's what I do in my game.
Flesh it out. Don't like overwhelm yourself and mention how long it's going to take. And 'cause then that gives me the idea that this is probably never going to be finished because he seems obviously overwhelmed.
Yeah. And speaking of finishing games, do we want to move into today's topic?
Yes. Let's do it. Into today's topic. So just to establish that A Pawn and a Knight by Yanma has been a unanimous flay across the board with the general opinion of it could use some more polish and have more confidence in your project. But today's topic is basically Getting Serious Part 2. And we're going to talk about the merits between doing a commercial game versus making a game that will be free, or basically whether or not you're going to fund your game. So to start off.
Yeah, our special guest today, Nate B. He works at RPG Maker Web. You know him as the big guy who got RPG Maker on Steam, so props for that. And before he was RPG Maker Web bigwig, he had a lot of success creating and selling an RPG Maker game. His game is called Faded Haven. Check it out. You can buy it on Big Fish Games or at his website, fadedproductions.com. Is that right?
Yeah, or fadedhaven.com works.
All right, fadedhaven.com. Check out his game. It's pretty sweet. And he has success making a game that he's sold. So that's one of the big reasons why he's here for this topic. We were waiting for him before we could hit this part two. And we're going to talk about the commercial aspect of games. We're going to kick this off with a mini interview. I have a couple questions I want to ask Nate about the success that he's had.
Before we get into those questions, I just want to make one comment.
Yes.
This guy basically got Ace in the West with box copies, and then he got Ace on Steam. He basically just trumped Don Miguel. Yeah. That's all I want to say.
I would not say that.
I would say it. You don't have to say it because you can be modest. I'm going to say
has single-handedly
you've done better
the
than
face
Don Miguel.
Of RPG Maker forever.
Yeah, you took huge strides to get RPG Maker more legit in the Western community. So, bravo on that.
I was just doing my job.
So modest.
Well, you did a damn good job. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, so go on with the question.
So, Nate, one of the things that people talk about when they're making commercial games is that there's a big difference between the casual players, the people who are actually going to buy a game like this, versus the kind of people who actually post on RPG Maker forums. And what kind of differences do you find, and how do you sculpt your game to really aim it at the kind of person who's going to be looking to pay money for a well-made RPG like this?
Well, first off, I wouldn't say it's really well made, not to bash my own work, but there's a lot of personal problems I have with it, and I think a lot of developers on RPG Maker Web are going to have with it. That's a good thing. But I targeted specifically Big Fish game players, and a lot of people say that it's because they don't know what RPG Maker is. That's a common insult that I receive. But really, I made the game quite easy. I introduced a battle system or a level up system that's quite different from the standard RPG Maker game that's on Big Fish Games. Basically, if you look at their RPG Maker section, that's all you're going to find is RPG Maker games. Very few, but that's what it is. So I didn't make it for the RPG Maker developer because I get the sense that a lot of us are seasoned RPG players or even just gamers in general. So the first thing I did was make it so that the game balances out automatically. There's no need to grind whatsoever in the game. That's something that I hate in RPGs in general. I wanted to make it more about the story. As cliched as it can be at times, that's what I wanted to do when I made the game, was tell a story. And so I made it as easy as possible, and I, you know, have a nice tutorial that walks people through, especially the level up system, and I made it as customizable as possible. You can, no two people can play the game the same way. You can treat your fighter like a black mage, and you can treat your black mage like a fighter, depending on how you level them.
Yeah, I did that in my playthrough. I had like the black mage, like 90 strength was great.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a sandbox for this story at times. I mean, you're not going to game over very often. So, I mean, I catered specifically for the casual gamer because, I mean, I saw a niche that could fill and decided to fill it. I'm actually redoing the game from the ground up to target more than the casual gamer, but that's, if my headset doesn't fall off, that's basically the gist of it.
All right. And I also want to ask about the challenges that you had from more of a technical aspect, making the game more compatible with a kind of mass market like that. The way I understand it is that Big Fish Games and other games portals don't allow games that you can't play without a mouse and that kind of thing. And when you put that in a game, and also what kind of feedback have you gotten from players who approach a game and notice those kind of things?
Well, yeah, Faded Haven was done when I approached Big Fish Games. And the first thing they wanted was different graphics, and that worked out pretty well. I mean, the Samurai titles had just come out, and so I got it all swapped out. But yeah, I was rejected at first because it didn't have a mouse system. And because it was made in VX, there was not a good mouse system yet. So I had to work with Jet in getting that developed. And I actually learned a little bit of scripting trying to fix bugs because he kind of vanished on me midway through development of the script. And so I spent like a good 5-6 days straight patching up things with very crappy Ruby programming skills. But that was the biggest technical limitation I can think of, was getting that mouse system going from nothing to a fully fledged system. But that actually benefited me in many ways. I mean, obviously got accepted on Big Fish Games after we got the mouse system incorporated, but even off the Big Fish Games forums, there was a bunch of people that emailed me thanking me for the system, that they can't play with a keyboard, whether they be, you know, an older person with arthritis, or just the fact that the mouse system was developed to be very fluent. I actually prefer playing with a mouse now. At first, the idea was really crazy. Why would they want me to use a mouse system for an RPG? It just makes sense to play with a keyboard.
That's what I'm saying.
That's exactly, that was my thought process. I was very angry, and it was like, okay, so now we got to get this whole system. And the mouse system is very complicated to get right. I had to cut a lot of features, like jumping over stuff, out of my game. In anticipation for the mouse, because it just did not work that well. So there was a lot of stuff that had to get cut and a lot of things that had to be added to make it mouse friendly, and that was a lot of work. But I get emails still to this day from people that aren't even a Big Fish Games player, but bought the game because it had mouse support, because they're actually using the mouse system, who actually thought it was weird at first, but realized that it's actually much more fluent and easier than playing with the keyboard. So I mean, I guess that was a major plus in the end. but
yeah, the mouse feels really nice. I like the way it feels. Like, you know, there's the WASD and mouse control that people are used to, and I when I play the RPG Maker games with a mouse, I have my one hand on the arrows and one hand on the mouse, and it actually feels pretty natural. So props for that.
Yeah, I mean, when I approached Jet about the mouse system, he had one going, but it was very, very basic and was filled with tons of bugs and everything. So when that script was being developed, and it's actually ported to Ace now, but I basically told him what to add. I had ideas laid out, and I just, you know, hey, what do you think about this? How easy would it be to do this, this, and this? I wanted it to be so that you could play the entire game with the mouse and it not be a pain in the ass. So that wasn't easy either. I mean, the game was done, and it took probably 3 more months or so to get ironed out. So that was probably the biggest difficulty.
Well, it was well worth it. Killam, do you have a question?
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of listeners want to know about this too. The RTP, in terms of the outside market, outside the RPG Maker community, how does that work out? Do people shun you for it, or was it really not well known?
The outside of the RPG Maker community, like a customer that's buying the game?
Yeah, like a typical BFG customer.
They notice. They do notice. And actually, what a lot of people don't realize is a lot of people that buy commercial RPG Maker games aren't necessarily a developer, but have actually used RPG Maker and have messed around with it, especially people that buy from Avion's site, Amanda Fitch's website. A lot of people, because she actually pushes RPG Maker and sells the RPG Maker product line on her website as well. She's an affiliate of ours. So a lot of people that actually buy these do know what RPG Maker is and do know what the runtime package is and actually encourage and enjoy games that don't use the runtime package. The games that don't will sell more copies than a slapped together RTP game. So if you're thinking that you're going to pull off a quick, gritty RTP game and make a bunch of money off it, think again, because people will notice and they won't buy your game or even check it out because it looks like, you know, just another
Every
brick in the wall.
Out there.
Yes. When Faded Haven was released, the Samurai tiles were just out. I mean, they just came out, and I had to redo every single map to utilize the new tiles, but it was also the first commercial game, as far as I know, that actually used the Samurai tiles. So, I mean, that was a plus to me. I don't plan on using the tiles anymore. I mean, I'm getting completely custom graphics done now by good old Despain here. But
money vacuum.
I mean, if possible, definitely. If you're going to make a commercial game, you need to have a budget. You need to have a realistic budget, and you need to get some custom graphics done, because it will greatly make your game sell more copies, because people won't ignore it.
Or be willing to put in a lot of time and a lot of frustration to do it yourself.
Yes, that too. I mean, you don't have to have a budget for graphics, but I'm just saying, expect to spend a little money if you're actually going to go that route. You need to spend money to make money, and that applies to pretty much anything out there.
True that.
So
exactly.
But yes, not to ramble on too much longer, but people outside the RPG Maker community know and recognize the RPG Maker RTP, especially on the Steam forums. Please, for the love of God, don't throw up your runtime package game on Steam Greenlight.
Yeah, if people on Greenlight see an RTP game, they're going to be like, what?
They're going to know. I mean, you're not fooling anybody with it. I mean, if you're just having some people that you know in real life that have never messed with RPG Maker play your game, you might fool them and they won't realize, but you're not going to sell too many copies of an RTP game, and you're not going to get it on Steam, period. Just give up now. I mean, yeah. Big Fish Games asked me to change my graphics because the RTP was starting to be well known there.
Yeah, so you definitely would say that there is a merit to having custom graphics, that the age of this RTP has passed, and until more graphics packs come out, you're going to need to there's going to need to be some work done to make your game be stand out on its own from a visual aspect.
Exactly.
So I think, Killam, you want to talk about how commissioning is going for you?
Yeah, sure. Before I start, I want to just quickly announce that I am looking at this from a commercial aspect, not a hobbyist perspective. So
yes.
If I say something and you guys don't agree with it, that's probably because you're not looking at the game like I'm looking at it. I'm looking at this game to make money. It's not from a shallow perspective. I want to make a game that's fun, but I also want to make money. So don't like shun me for that, I guess. But
definitely want to say as a disclaimer for this episode that this is for a commercial aspect where people, this is beyond the hobbyist level right now, where you're actually trying to make your game sell.
All right, anyway, so commissioning. Let me just go on a mini rant here because I see this happen all the time. Time directly correlates to work, which directly correlates to money. I've seen a lot of people, and the RPG Maker community, I'm not trying to insult you, but so we are known for being cheap, and that's not good, because when you commission someone, you're commissioning someone's time, and you need to understand that time is money. People have been, I've talked to Despain, I've talked to other artists I know, people always try to be really cheap about it and commission graphics for cheap, but if you're working on a commercial game, you have to have the commercial mindset. You have to realize that this is for money. You have to put the money into it. Like, you can't, I've put, what, how much money did I pay you, Despain? 500 almost?
Almost.
Yeah, he made a tree in like four houses. That's it.
And, a little more than that.
All right, you know what I mean. But what I'm trying to say is that you can't be cheap anymore. This is the big leagues. You have to understand that this is a commitment. Unless you make your own graphics like Rainer does, but this is a commitment, and you have to
even then it's
put
a time
the money.
Commitment.
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's time. Like, I could have saved so much time and had so much more done if I paid – like, if I gave Despain money to make my graphics for me, because he's really good at, like, the retro pixel money. Art, like the 8-bit stuff. Like, if I had paid him money, I would probably be done with my game by now.
Yeah, but exactly. Like, guys, I'm trying to stress this. I'm being annoying at this point, but please do not be cheap.
I see a lot of threads in the commission forum where people are saying, like, all right, I have a $100 budget. I want somebody to make tiles and characters for my entire game. It's like,
nope,
no, dude.
You gotta look at it. A lot of artists, from what I've gathered, because I've worked with quite a few, from face artists to, you know, tile set artists, everything. A lot of them do it full time. I mean, if you're wanting somebody to bite and do graphics for you, you're going to have more than $100 laid out. You got to be expects four figures. I mean, if you know somebody that's a friend that can do it for cheap, that's great, but don't just ask your friends to make graphics for you for free either and promise commissions, because I see that happen a lot too, and that's getting off topic, but I see a lot of people working for commission for a game basically for free, and then they're going to get a cut of the money, and then
the game never sells.
Because that developer was just getting shit done for free, they might not ever finish their game.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, that's a perfect point. When you put money into it, you're giving yourself a motivation too. I put $1,500 in my game. I'm not going to stop. I can't stop. I put a lot of money into it. I'm going to keep putting money into it.
It'd be like throwing away $1,500. It's the same thing with me. I've spent like over 6 months on my game trying to get so much done, and I've showed it off to people, and people are like, oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So for me, that's like I've put all this time into that, and I've got people who are looking forward to it. I can't disappoint them and just drop what I'm doing.
I mean,
same thing with throwing in money.
Yeah. So if you got to pay money. People, yes, exactly. If you pay people to work on your game, you gotta be prepared to have a big budget. I'm not saying like you need six figures or anything crazy like that, but if you got like $10,000 saved up, I'm not saying that's your magic number, but you can get a lot done with that if you ask the right people. And if you don't got any money, then, you know, start saving up some money, get a job or something.
So either save up some money or try to do it yourself. Like, I don't have a lot of money to throw at a game project, so I'm trying to do as much as I can on my own. Trust me, if I had the money, I would definitely be paying, like, an artist I respected or I figure could get the job done, get those art assets for me done, and save me a ton of time.
I mean, if you absolutely have no source of income and you can't do it yourself, then I guess use the RTP, but don't be expecting any good results.
Yeah, I agree.
I also want to add that anybody can edit the RTP to make it a little bit better. I talked about it last time, I think, about clumping some tiles together just to make some prettier arrangements, just to make it look a little fresher. And pretty much anybody can do that. Just find any graphics editing program and take some time editing the tiles, maybe recolor some flowers, things like that. And it's not that hard to make the RTP look prettier than it normally does.
Yeah, pro tip, round edges.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, you can definitely do some stuff with the RTP to make it a bit prettier, as Lunara and Celiana have shown. So, Despain, why don't you talk about the aspect of being the person in particular that has been commissioned?
Yeah, so we've talked a lot about people on the end who's making a game, and they're putting their money out there to bring in the artists. And I want to talk about the people on the other end, the people who are actually doing the work for the money. And this isn't, I mean, from my perspective, I do a lot of art. I've also done a little bit of writing. And there's also, there's scripters who do a lot of this kind of stuff. Lately I've seen people who are making maps for money, which, I mean, I kind of get it.
Well, it's, in that case, they're doing level design. If you've got your graphics on hand and you're just like, I need somebody to make these maps for me, and somebody's like, I'll design your levels for you for money, then that's perfectly fine. I don't know what the cost would be, but it'd be interesting.
And unless you're like the most well-known mapper in the community, chances are I would never pay you for mapping.
Yeah, I would never pay somebody for mapping.
My mapping is very, it needs a lot of work. I'll admit that. I mean, I need to improve my mapping significantly, but I still wouldn't pay anybody to map. I mean, that's something that anybody can pick up and learn to do. You just got to keep practicing. I mean, there's no real reason to pay somebody to map for you.
That's supposed to be your job as a designer. Now, I can understand where you'd pay somebody to map if you're doing a lot of scripting or if you're doing a lot of art and you're not that savvy about how the game design aspect works, where you're like, oh, I want to tell the story with my art stuff and make a game, but I'm not really sure. And I know a rough idea of how I want the game.
From a base aspect, when you're the game designer, I could never hire somebody to map, because when I make a level, when I make a map, it's not just to make it pretty. It's to make something with a function. But at the same time, there are some developers who can lay out a function of every map, and they don't have to waste the time making it pretty by placing flowers. And then they can hire a mapper to come in afterwards and spruce it up and make it pretty. And when you're hiring a mapper from that aspect, then that's when it starts to make sense to me.
Yes. Yeah. That's the exception. That's what I was going to say. Or even if your project is really that large and it needs a million maps and you need some help, I mean, I would, at the very least, I would have it all designed out and, like, draw it out.
Yeah.
Like, have, like, a layout already in mind.
Yeah, and the kind of developers who would hire a mapper, I think they do have their game in mind. They have the function and of all their maps planned out already, and they hire somebody in to come in and then mop it up, right, if that makes sense.
I don't think that's what they think, but it a rational and a good one would go across that thought process, yes, but yes. I don't think.
But on the opposite side, there's people paying people just to make their game because they're lazy.
Yes.
And those are the people who rarely succeed.
Don't slap your name on that game, then, and put your name down as executive producer. It's not your game.
I need a mapper. Exactly. I need a scripter. I need a pixel artist. I need a music guy. And can somebody database for me?
What about those ones where you see those threads and it's like, I'm hiring these people, and it's like, writer, 1 out of 3.
I hate the writer.
Graphics.
Why? What the fuck?
Two out of 16. I need 3 mappers, and I found one. Scripters, 1 out of 4.
I don't understand that. I mean, are they people that have an A and B in mind, and then it's like, okay, I'll just hire everybody to get everything else figured out?
I just find those funny.
You gotta expect to make a ton of freaking money then. I mean, I spent several hundred dollars on my game.
What they're doing is they finish playing Final Fantasy or whatever other RPG they're playing, and they watch the credits roll, and they write down how many people worked on each aspect of that game. And they, all right, Final Fantasy had 4 environment artists. I need 4 pixel artists for that. How many I need.
You don't need, I mean, that's another thing that bugs me, is people think that they need a long credits list, and you don't. If you're the only person that did everything, just have a single credit line. I mean,
A good example of that was Super Meat Boy. When I watched the credits for Meat Boy, it's like design and art, their 2 names, and then they had some legal shit for like publishing or whatever. But other than that, it was good and simple.
You don't need epic credits. I mean, who cares? I mean, if anything, it's going to look more impressive if you list everything off on a single line and there's your name and that's it. I would be more impressed. Like, holy crap, that guy did everything?
Yeah. No, in your game, Nate, you had your name on like every single line, basically, like scripting, Nate, maps, Nate. And I was like, oh, wow, you did everything.
No, see, I wouldn't put the different titles. I would just put design, Nate, special thanks, Jet.
Yeah, I mean, I broke it down into sections because I did a lot of everything, but I didn't do everything. I mean, I did some scripting, but a lot of other people contributed scripts as well.
Well, no,
and
that's what
I did some music, but I had 3 other people that did music for me as well. I mean, that's why it's broken down into sections. But
but that's what I'm saying. Like, if you had other people in those categories, I'm just saying, don't have like maps, Nate, design, Nate, sound, Nate. It's just you can crunch all of that up into
developed by Nate.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Everything by Nate.
Maybe
special thanks, Jet.
Games by Nate, motherfucker. But yeah, no. You don't need a huge elaborate thing. So I believe we should talk about the merits of spending money versus not spending money, which we've kind of talked about throughout the episode. So I'm just kind of repeat myself and say that either way, you're going to be spending money, whether it is the money you could have. The money you save from doing it yourself, you're using up a lot of time to do that.
Yes.
And basically, when you're spending money to have somebody else do it, you're just saving time. Because, granted, you could make an entire game by yourself, but it would take a ton of time, especially if you don't have a wide skill set. Because then you have to spend that time learning that skill set to get it done on your own, or contacting the right certain amount of people.
That's time you spend going out making money.
Exactly. And I got to say that I have a huge help from the RPG Maker community, certain members. Like, Jet definitely helps me out a lot. And there are some scripts out there and some other resources out there that are free for people to use in commercial projects, and all they ask for is credit. And I cannot thank those type of people enough that put it forth the time. They make like a general feature type thing, and they just go, hey, you know what? You guys can do this. Just give me a nod. And that saves me time, and it also saves me money. And honestly, like, they would at least get a free copy and like 10 Steam codes if I ever got that lucky. But it's more of just, either way, you can make a game on your own and not spend a single dime on it, but you have to expect to put a ton of time of it. Like I said,
or it might even affect your results if you don't put in that time.
Yeah.
If you're thinking you're going to just throw something together with the RTP and you're not going to put forward that time to learn stuff and learn those skills yourself, then you're going to end up with something pretty crummy.
Exactly. So either way, it's time equals money. You're going to be spending one of the two to make a good game.
Yeah, at the end of the day, for a commercial game especially, you're going to put work into it. If you don't want to put work into it, don't make a game.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I consider work. I consider my game pretty bootstrapped. I mean, I still dumped, when I think about all the costs, I still dumped like $3,000 in it over the time. I mean, I didn't work on it full time, so when I toss out 3 years, don't think that, I mean, it was 3 years of straight development. It was just 3 years over the course of free time working at McDonald's and stuff. But I mean, I still ended up spending a pretty penny overall over that course of 3 years. I'm not saying that you're going to always spend money, but I mean, if you want some things done that are just out of your skill set and you're not going to find somebody reliable that's free, then you're going to expect to spend a lot of money.
You want somebody to be reliable, you're definitely going to want to spend money to guarantee
that's another
reliability.
Thing. Free people are often unreliable from my experience.
Yep, they are.
Honestly, the only people I would work with for free are people I know in person, because then I can go to their house and say, where is my shit?
Tony Soprano style.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to go, hey, where's my
money, bitch?
Yo, where are my Sprites,
where
bitch?
Tiles,
where
man?
Where the
tiles?
Fuck are my Sprites?
Where are my tiles, man? Where are my tiles? You got my tiles, man? You got my tiles? You got my tiles, man? You know? It's like I'm Stewie Griffin.
Where are my tiles, man?
I don't know. That's what I thought. Where are my tiles, man? You know, that's the only way where if I were going to be, all right, we're going to do this and none of us are going to get paid until this game is done, I'd be like, all right, we got to work in person and we got to have like a central face-to-face meeting thing.
And have a contract written out. And
yes! Definitely need this.
I mean, a lot of people that are working based off of royalties, which I was going to say earlier, if they're working straightly off royalties and no cash up front, they're either going to be unreliable or what I hate to see from the opposite perspective is the developer has no money invested in it, and he loses interest, and then those artists are out of their time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that irritates me way more.
Yeah, for me, royalties is the equivalent of not being paid at all, honestly. It's not money up front. Why should you care?
I can understand royalties if there's almost a split, like give them some money up front and with the additional promise of extra royalties on top of it when the game goes, and then maybe you can give a little bit of a discount on
Well, no, that's what it is. Royalties are an incentive. They're your bonus package.
Exactly.
Like, I've got royalties, studios, and they get paid a salary. And then they also make royalties on top of that. So when they're not working and they're not – like when the project's done, people aren't working for a few months until they get the next project started. So during that time, they're making royalties. And then they'll work again, and then they're making salary plus royalties. I mean, royalties is an incentive to throw on top of the wages you're making. It's not just, I'll pay you purely in royalties. It's just a sucker move right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
So from there, let's talk about today's question of the week.
Not quite yet. I have one more topic that came to me to discuss. And I want to talk about Kickstarter.
Oh my god! No, please. We can rant about this 3 hours.
I would like to avoid ranting out it for 3 hours, and I think we can easily lump it in with this discussion so we never have to talk about this horrible topic again.
I'm going to just say one thing, and then I'm going to be done with it, please. If you're going to start a Kickstarter, have concept artwork, have something unique. Don't throw up your RTP game and your RTP title screen with even the Ace made text on the title screen. That irritates the piss out of me. Show people.
People are scamming for money. They're never going to finish that game.
Don't ask. You know what? They make $6,000.
I made a point out of it to make a joke Kickstarter just to see if I could get finance. I asked for $100 and it made $700. I mean, I'm obligated to make that game now, but it's just like it was just point proven that there's so many. Don't take advantage of people that are actually trying to endorse you that don't know about RPG Maker. That's just
Kickstarter is a force of good and evil. I think Kickstarter is a great thing, but I agree with Nate. You definitely
Kickstarter
have
is a
something
great thing. It's great that there's a community of people out there who support indie developers. It's fantastic that they're willing to put their money behind these projects. And then when somebody puts up the really bad RTP game with no vision, no anything, it's like an insult to this wonderful community.
Everything. Yeah,
it's just an insult to these people who are willing to put their money to support this kind of creativity. And you don't have the creativity. And it's just like you're smacking these people in the face and stealing their money. And it's insulting.
Exactly.
It's
really my dad's going to handle the financing because for some reason I've convinced my parents that I'm a smart cookie that developed my own game from scratch.
Yeah.
I get that vibe a lot. It's kind of
If you make an RPG Maker game with Kickstarter, don't try to hide it. Like, you see these people and they're trying to hide it. You know, they use completely RTP graphics and they make no mention of RPG Maker.
What?
They
I'm going to hide
no
it?
No mention of anything. There's a difference between hiding it when you're using original graphics and downplaying it.
Yeah, okay.
But if your game is completely just RTP, you're using all these pre-made assets, and then you try to ignore the fact that you're using RPG Maker to begin with.
Dude, that's the best. Like, look at my custom battle system. It's like the default. I love that. It's so funny. Everyone's so interesting.
Yeah, you're very able to believe that you're putting work into stuff that you're not.
To not entirely bash Kickstarter, I think that if you have either concept art or a demo made and you're just like, this is what I have right now and I want to finish this, I could use some money to make this a lot better. Like,
exactly.
Disband has tried to convince me to basically make a Kickstarter when I finish my next demo and then just go, hey, I have this idea. If you guys enjoyed playing this, give me some money so I can pay somebody to save me time and get this art out the door, and then I can share it with you.
Some games belong there, and a lot of games don't.
Yeah, at the very least, if you're going to have an RTP game that's being launched on Kickstarter and you can't afford a concept artist, I would rather see somebody have stick figures drawn and the crappiest art on paper laid out that these are my rough ideas. I can't even hire a concept artist, but you know, this is what I want to do, and I don't want it to be an RTP crap. I'm using RPG Maker, but you know, this is what I have envisioned. Don't just like show a video of your RTP game and prey on people that are thinking that it's some talented crap. Because when I see the Eric graphic, the Ace default character in an RTP game on Kickstarter,
one of the comments bothered me so much on one of these where somebody's like, wow, this is such great work from such an imaginative young man. I'm like, no, it's not.
Wow. I like your art style. Like, fuck, are you kidding me?
Yeah, and these people, they don't do anything to dispute that. They just let people think that they're making
stuff. Yeah, they just
go,
oh, yeah,
where's
I made
the money
it.
Going? That's what I want to know 99% of the time, was where's the money going if you're using the runtime package and you're not
going
discussing
into their iPad 2, their PS3, their 360, their Wii U,
their Vita.
If
you're not making custom graphics and stuff, where the hell is the money going? I mean, like I said, I launched a joke Kickstarter, and it got funded 700%, but I'm still doing that, and I'm actually using the money towards development. I have no idea when I'm going to get it finished, but it's my full intention to actually, you know, pay for some music and actually use that $700 budget.
You have to. Like, that's what it's for.
Exactly. Yeah, that would be the same thing for me. If I made a Kickstarter and it got funded, I would put that money towards hiring a custom pixel artist so I could save myself some time and get some better art, because I've improved over a bit, but I'm still not that great. I'd hire somebody to do actual custom music instead of just finding some, like, free 8-bit music people release out there. And, you know, and then with the rest of that money, I can basically spend that so I can take a few days to just make the game.
Yeah, that's what Kickstarter is for. Kickstarter is not your profit. Kickstarter is your startup.
Yep.
Yeah,
Kickstarter is your startup.
You see a lot of people, and they make Kickstarters, and they're like, wow, look at all this extra money. I make so much profit off of this, and it's not even a game yet. It's like, no.
No.
That is not your profit.
That's
not
your development costs.
Yeah.
Guess what? You just got a bigger budget to work on your game.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest – just that's – root of the problem for me is that's my biggest problem is I see all these videos where it's not even the author sitting down in front of the camera talking about his game. I have more respect for those people. What I have a big problem with, and I even saw one that got funded recently, and I'm sure somebody out there knows what I'm talking about, is a game got funded for like $3,000, and the only video it was just a play of just an RTP everything. There wasn't
that got six scripts. Grand.
It got six grand.
Yeah.
See, that irritates me because they didn't even map out at least the game I'm thinking of, they didn't even map out where the money's going.
Yeah.
No.
It's
no.
Just
like, I could have used that six grand.
It's not
I'd be done with my game if I had six grand right now.
Kickstarter is not a pre-order.
Yeah.
If you had a goal of $5,000 and you got $25,000, guess what? You have a $25,000 budget now.
Yeah.
And you're going to – maybe you're going to hire a more expensive artist. You're going to use that money for development. You're not going to go out and – that's just, I don't know, you're too beside me.
No, just be honest with yourself and the people who are contributing to your game. That's really all you have to do.
Yeah,
it's just good form. I mean, those people are just scammers. But anyways, so let's move on to...
So we got Kickstarter out of the way. Let's talk about our final thoughts before we move on to question of the week. So, Raynard, what are your final thoughts on the subject of Getting Serious Part 2 commercial games?
My final thoughts on the subject is that time equals money. So you're either going to be spending time or money. Either way. So the more money you spend, the less time you have to spend on it. And the more time you spend, the less money you have to spend on it. Either way, you're going to be spending a lot of resources to get this done. Games are not just something that you do for craps and giggles. I mean, yeah, people can do it as a hobby, and that's fine. But I'm saying if you're going to make a game that you plan on selling to people, it's not just going to be like, slap, 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 money! No, you're going to spend time, resources, spend work, dedicate at least a year to it, and get that crap out the door. So that's my final thoughts, is don't be lazy.
Kill him.
All right, guys, making a game is work. It's hard at some points, but you know what? If you're dedicated enough to make a commercial game, you have to do it. Don't be lazy. Don't be cheap. This is the big leagues. Act like it. Be professional.
That sounds really familiar. Like I've heard that before.
I think it's from a movie. I'm not sure.
All right,
yeah, guys, just be professional.
All right. Without ranting too much, because I usually do that. Love your project, number one.
Yes.
If you're gonna jump into commercializing, take it to heart. I mean, even if you have to make it RTP, do what I did. Make it, you know, as un RTP as possible. And, you know, if you make some money, dump that money into, you know, a free upgrade to make the game that you imagined. I mean, just love your project and don't let people discourage you, but don't be a piece of crap about it either, please.
Exactly.
Yeah. My final thought, I want to remind people that, like Raynard said, time is money. Nate said, love your project. And I have to say, love the people you're working with on your project because time is money. You have to, when you're commissioning work from other people for your project, give them the respect and the money that they deserve because they're putting this thing together for you or with you. Like, if somebody, like I said before, you can't expect to get full custom graphics on a $100 budget. You have to respect that the people who are making this stuff for you, they're putting time into it, and they need to be compensated for that at a fair level. And
yeah, I mean, it's okay to get a friend rate or something. But
yeah,
I mean,
absolutely. Like, if you have friends, they'll be willing to cut you some slack on prices, that kind of thing. But at the same time, you have to be able to put business first, because there's a difference between business and friendship. There's a difference between business and hobbies. And when you're looking to make money out of your games, you have to be able to approach it as a business. And at the end of the day,
like,
money is what makes the world go round.
Yeah, the $100 thing is mostly just noobs sitting there going like,
yeah.
No, well, I mean, people just pull art out of their butt. They spend 5 minutes. They've got 8 tile sets. That's all.
I got $100 for Christmas from my grandma. I'm going to make the best game ever.
Yay!
Exactly what I said. Christmas card from grandma and aunt combined. I've got $100.
Let's make a game.
Money makes the world go round. Respect money. Respect time. And just understand that all this stuff is connected. So, Raynard, do you want to talk about our question of the week from last week?
Last week we talked about rewarding the players for exploring and all that stuff. So, certain people have answered with various answers, and I know that's redundant, but moving on. people reward stuff with Indonera in particular, said that he rewarded things with relics and artifacts, certain amount to collect, like 10 or 16. They come with special powers, weapons, gears, permanent increase of stat items. You know, you do a certain event, like sharing wine with a lord, and then you get, you know, plus 10 MP. Different rare sequences, like you get bonus scenes to find, oh, I go down this little path, and oh no, I find this thing that elaborates the story, so that's a good thing to do. And then lots of experience in gold, which is just, you know,
kind of... Yeah, pretty much the same kind of things that we talked about last week when we were talking about rewarding the player. It's nice to, to learn, to get feedback from the community that people are putting these ideas into practice. You know, whether or not they've heard from us in the podcast, they're already doing it. They're rewarding the player, and that's an important thing. The player needs to feel that kind of thing. And it's really really reassuring to see other people encouraging that kind of development.
Exactly. So this week, we ask you, do you buy RPG Maker games? Would you buy RPG Maker games? And what about an RPG Maker game? What could somebody do for their RPG Maker game that would change your mind, that would make you want to actually buy one? So that is our question of this week. Whether you buy it, would you buy it, and what could make someone make you buy their game? Aside from showing up like Tony Soprano at your house.
And as always, you can reply to this week's question or give us general feedback on the podcast at the forums on rpgmakerweb.com or on our official website, finalbossblues.com. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at finalbossblues or at Raynard Frost. Yes. And, of course, you should check out Faded Haven, the game by our special guest host.
Don't push my game, please.
Spend money. Give money to our guest host.
I want to be confident, but don't. My game's terrible.
I mean, it's not in the state that I want it to be to present it to the RPG Maker community.
All right, yeah. So, you know what? So hold off on Faded Haven for another year or two, and then buy the complete version when it comes out. Either way, give us your money.
That's money!
Maybe I'll start a Kickstarter and ask for $50,000 or something.
Yeah! Anyways.
Alright, thank you all for listening. This has been Des Payne.
Raynard Frost.
Kill him.
And Nathaniel B.
Alright, thanks a lot, guys. See you next week.